are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It's December 15, 2025, and it is bitter cold here in Philadelphia. Wow, we had some snow over the weekend, which was just beautiful, but wow, is it ever cold, and the roads, you know, what's left on the roads is icy, so we are certainly in the Christmas spirit here in the Philadelphia region. So let us begin in prayer, my friends, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to pray to the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer by Joseph Cardinal Mercier. O Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders, and I promise to submit myself to all that you desire of me and to accept all that you permit to happen to me. Let me only know your will. Amen. So my friends, let us also pray for world peace. We pray absolutely for all the tragedies that have happened at Brown University in L.A., the flooding, the atmospheric rivers in California, and the wars all over the world. We pray for peace this Advent season, Heavenly Father. We know that the power of prayer is beyond anything that we can imagine. So we hold up our prayers to you today. We pray for a peaceful Advent and Christmas for all those who are listening, for all those who are begging God or begging you for healing, Lord Jesus. We offer them up to you today. All those who have called in or emailed or texted this ministry, we thank you and praise you for all that you are about. In your holy name, amen. Well, what are we going to talk about? Advent, of course, we're in this beautiful season of Advent. And again, as I laughed with my nephew today, he said, well, what are you going to do on radio? I said, oh, the Lord always lets me know after lunch. And he did. Can our weariness really refresh others? Now, I want you to answer that question. Can your weariness, your tiredness, your sickness refresh others? Now, St. Francis of Assisi, who is very near and dear to my family and my heart, one day he was hoeing his garden. And this is a story that's been written about in the lives of the saints. And someone came up to St. Francis and said, Francis, what if I were to tell you that in 3 hours you would be dead? What would you do? St. Francis said, I would keep hoeing my garden. Now, St. Francis was able to say that only, my friends, because he was doing the will of God. The key here to this kind of peace is to live every day so that no matter what happens, if God calls you home today, it doesn't matter. You keep doing what you're doing because this is God's will. What is a living sacrifice? Jesus wants us to become a living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice means you give your life away. Living means you're still alive while you do it. So being a living sacrifice means it's going to hurt, my friends. It's going to hurt. Now, oh, how great it is that our weariness refreshes others. And this is written throughout the scriptures and throughout the lives of the saints. Our weariness refreshes others. This really hit me between the eyes. It really hit me between the eyes. Now, when you and I become a living sacrifice and we're tired, oh, I'm sure those of you who are listening are tired. We're giving others refreshment. This is what it is to be a living sacrifice. You and I are not being a sacrifice for no reason. We do it to give life to others. And what a great and glorious thing that our tiredness is refreshing to others. For you and I to be a living sacrifice, especially during Advent, means to live as the crucified one Christ is inside of us. When people see us, they should be seeing the icon of the crucified. This means that my life is for others. Jesus gave his life for you. Yeah, you who are listening. And now you must do the same. We must say, God, I want you to use me today, not so I can get what I want done, but so that I can do what you want. This is an exciting thing, especially during Advent and this busy season of preparing for Christmas. Now, we become saints, my friends, when our will and God's will become one. This is where St. Francis was when he said he would continue doing what he was doing. Remember, I just started the program off. If he was asked, what would he do as he's hoeing the garden? He said, I would continue hoeing the garden. St. Francis was when he said he would continue doing what he was doing, even if he were to die within the hour. And this is where we need to be today, at this time, on December 15th, 2025. To establish this, we need to be at peace, don't we? We need to be at peace. And when we lose our peace, we know that something is wrong. And as we talked about before, many, many programs, this means either we're in mortal sin and we need to repent, or we're not doing God's will. Day in and day out, we need to be in the will of God to be in peace. Now, if we're at peace, one of the biggest things we have to do is live the scripture, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then everything else will be given to you. Now, if you're listening, the problem with most people is that they seek everything else and hope to get the kingdom. Isn't that true? Even broadcasters, pastors, preachers, you know, we seek everything and we hope to get the kingdom, but we need to be seeking the kingdom of God first. And the kingdom of heaven is simply the will of God on earth. Now, when we start living God's will, we start experiencing heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Now, St. Catherine of Siena once wrote, and you can look this up, all the way to heaven is heaven, because Jesus said, I am the way. So when we start living God's will, we get a foretaste of heaven. It's not some place way up in the sky. Oh, I know as kids we were taught that. But Jesus says, I'm the way. So when we start living God's will, we get a foretaste of heaven. Now, this is reflected in the Lord's Prayer when we say, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I'm doing God's will on earth, I'm experiencing heaven. I'm getting a glimpse of what it is in my daily life, because when I'm doing God's will, I'm living, if you will, in heaven. I'm in union with God. God and I have become one in his will. Now, I want you to get a pen, especially, but not if you're driving, and I want you to look up John 15. Now, the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, this is what I want you to look up. If anyone ever asks me where they should begin reading the Bible, I always say John 15, because it teaches us so much. It begins with, I am the vine. You are the branches. Then it goes on to say, live on in me as I do in you. That's John 15, verse 4. Now, I want you to think about this. He lives in us, and we live in him. He's Emmanuel. It's a name we really only hear during the Christmas season, isn't it? But he is Emmanuel, God with us. The question is not whether God is always with us. Of course he is. He's always with us. He lives in us by definition. And the question is, do we live in him? Now, we need to ask today, as we prepare for Christmas, do I dwell with him? Am I with God? Am I walking in his will? Am I living in the very person of Jesus Christ? And when he states, I am the vine, you are the branches, he goes on to say, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's John 15:5. So it's really very simple, isn't it? Am I building up the kingdom of heaven, or am I building up my own kingdom? Answer that question right now. Are you building up the kingdom of heaven, or are you building up your own kingdom? Am I putting God's name first and proclaiming his name, or am I proclaiming my name? Am I doing everything for God's glory, or for my personal glory? Now, we have to focus on this every day. If we're going to live in God's will, it has to be because we first seek the kingdom. Then he promises everything else will fall into place. Not, I've got to get the new car, got to get the new house, I've got to get the new job, got to get the new diamond. No, he promises everything else will fall into place if we seek the kingdom of God first. Now, the core of the chapter is John 15:9, which I told you to read and pray John 15 tonight. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. If you and I really meditated on that verse every single day, our lives will be transformed. Just as much as God the Father loves Jesus, this is how much he loves you. Now, one may even argue that God loves us more than Jesus because he let Jesus die for us. Well, this is really unbelievable. The God of the universe looked at you, Jane, Mark, Frank, Joey, Lincoln. He looked at Jesus and he chose you. He let Jesus Christ die for your sins because he loved you. He was willing to give up everything for love of you and me. Now, after Jesus tells us that we're loved, he commands us to love and to live in his love. This is the key to living in peace, my friends, in walking in God's will, living in his love. Living the will of God is living in such a way that you know you're loved and that you dwell in his love. Now live this way and know his peace. I want to share a story. Throughout my life, my mother passed away in 2005. Every Christmas, the four of us would say, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, I just want peace. Now, when we're little, we would think, okay, that means I'm going to stop fighting with my sister. I just want peace. You know, up to her death, she would say, I just want peace. And I used to think, this is so strange. Why would she say that? She was a prayerful woman, very prayerful. It was so much so that she said this every year that I bought her a little sign that says peace, and gave it to her for one Christmas, and I said, I'm giving you peace. And we all laughed and all, but she was serious. I just want peace. And now as I'm broadcasting over all these years, I realized that she was aching for a relationship with Christ in a deeper way. Live this way, and you'll know his peace. Now, how do we live in his love? Now, Jesus tells us in the scriptures, you will live in my love if you keep my commandments, even as I've kept my Father's commandments. That's John 15:10. Again, I want you to read John 15 tonight. Jesus is saying that the way I live in my Father's love, the way I have peace, is to obey him. I obey him in the way I live my life. So if we want to have the same peace as Christ did, if we want to live in his love every day, we have to keep his commandments. It's not, you don't have to be a theologian to get that. If you want to live in his love every day, we have to keep his commandments. And when we talk about keeping the commandments, my friends, most people talk about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And Charles Heston, what was his name? Heston. During Easter, we'd all watch the Ten Commandments. But those who are not Those are not the commandments of Jesus. In John 15:12, it states, "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you." Of course we're to keep the Ten Commandments, but we need to go way beyond them and live the commandment of love. Now in John 15:11, the Lord says, "All this I've told you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." This is how we're supposed to live every day and how we're supposed to live the will of God. And we're living in the commandment of God when we're living in his will, when we're living in his love. Guess what? We'll have joy. We'll have joy. The surest sign of God's presence in your life or anyone else's life is joy. If there's no joy, then we're not living out the will of God. We must be people of joy. Now remember, I've told many stories of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, of even her darkest days, she was joyful and brought joy to others by a smile, a simple smile. We must be people of joy. If you're listening today, we must be people of joy. Now, joy and humor are not always the same thing. We always get you not to be the class clown, the family clown. Joy and humor are not the same thing. They're not. Too many people have taken the joy out of following Christ. We make Christianity humorless. And Jesus said he wants your joy to be complete. Now, I'm asking you today, as we prepare for this beautiful Christmas, in this season of Advent, are you a person of joy? Now, we have spent many programs over the past couple years on suffering and God's will and discernment and sinfulness and da-da-da-da-da. But suffering in itself stinks, doesn't it? And what do you do when your suffering is offered up for somebody else? Then your act becomes an act of love. Okay. So if you're listening and you're in a nursing home or a wheelchair, or you didn't even get a raise, that's suffering, or your kids are driving you crazy, or you don't have enough money for Christmas, use the suffering, offer it up for somebody else. I want you to close your eyes and offer the suffering to somebody else. And when you're asked, that's when it becomes an act of love, my friends. So in Luke 4, there's another one I want you to read, 38 to 39. We see that one of the very first miracles Jesus performed was to heal St. Peter's mother-in-law. Did you remember that? Do you know that? Luke 4, 38 and 39. Jesus healed mother-in-law. And what did she do right after she was healed? Answer the question out loud. You know what she did right after she was healed? Everybody answer, in the car, in the Schuylkill, on 495, in your kitchen. What did she do? She served. Or you may say that she loved. She served. When Jesus touched someone, there was healing, not suffering. This is the reality when you read the word of God, my friends. Jesus brought healing. Jesus took dead people and brought them back to life. Jesus touched the only son of a mother and brought him back to life. Jesus always brings healing and life. And you can have any perspective you want. Any perspective you want. But I pray that you have the perspective of a God who wants to heal you and bring you back to life, than a God who enjoys watching you suffer. Think about it. God wants you to be joyful. This is God's will for you. So if you're going to live the will of God, you and I should have joy in our lives. If there's no joy in your life today, answer the question, why not? It's not God's will for you to be joyless, especially during this Christmas season. He wants you to have joy. So why don't you have joy? Answer that question honestly. Maybe tonight, write down in a notebook or journal. Why don't you have joy? Now, some people think we're just supposed to suffer on earth. I've heard that one. I think I bought into that for a while. Now, that's absolutely wrong. This is not what Jesus said. He did say, in the world you will have trouble, but the trouble is not from him. It's from the world. And now, after Jesus tells us that we'll have trouble, he immediately says, have courage. Have courage. I've overcome the world. Coraggio, as they say. Coraggio. When you know that you're going to go home to Jesus, as St. Francis was asked, remember? If you had 3 hours left, St. Francis, what would you do as he was hoeing the garden? And he said, well, I'll just continue hoeing the garden, because he was at total peace with God's will. This is where Jesus wants both of us, me as your broadcaster, and all the people behind the scenes, and you who are listening. When you know you're going home to Jesus, it should not cause you fear. It should bring you great joy. Now, about that rite of passage will be different for all of us, but we have to make sure we're all on the same page when it comes to this. It is God's will for you to be with him in heaven. Is it your will? God does not want you in purgatory. You may end up there, but he doesn't want you there. So how can you go right to heaven and be with God? By receiving the last rites? That's why it's always a good idea to pray to St. Joseph for a happy death. Because if you die with the last rites, you make a good confession. You're anointed. You receive viaticum. And then you get something quite interesting. At that moment, the church gives you something called a plenary indulgence, which takes care of the temporal punishment due all confessed sin. That's your ticket to get right into heaven. By the grace of Christ, who died on the cross for you, he gives heaven completely to you. Isn't that wonderful? That should make all of us joyful right now. If you and I go to heaven, it's not because of what we did. It's because how we cooperated with what Jesus did for us. Isn't that a powerful statement? Who was the first to get to heaven next to Jesus Christ? Guess what? The good thief. Yeah, the good thief. He was bad his whole miserable life, remember? And right before he died, he looked at the God of the universe and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. His will and Christ's will at that moment became one. He was saved by the grace of God. Jesus assured him, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, Jesus didn't say, hey, good thief, next week, or after 50 years, or at the end of time. He said, today. Now, God wants you to be with him as much as he wanted the good thief to be with him. I want you to listen to this carefully. He wants us to be with him as much as he wanted that good thief to be with him. So do not be afraid. Live every day as if it was your last. Love him with all that you are and desire him with your whole being. He will fulfill your desire forever with the gift of himself if you trust him. So please trust him. Now, when Jesus comes at the end of time, some people will see his face and scream and run away. Other people see the face of Jesus and smile with joy from ear to ear. It all depends on us. Do we love him? Are we ready for him to come? Or are we afraid of him and going to run away? I hope that we all love him and want for him to come. Aren't you excited? I don't know how excited he's going to be, but we should be extremely excited, because this is what we're created for. See, some people take Christianity and twist it around. Oh, boy, is it ever twisted around. Social media is twisting it and twisting it. People are twisting it. Some people take Christianity and twist it around to fit their own little belief systems. Now, throughout the centuries, people have taken Christianity and put their own spin on it. Now, they take the joy out of Christianity, and many, many heresies have arisen, which have for a time have turned people away from the true faith and the true teaching of the church. Focus on the teaching of the church. Focus on the teaching of the scriptures, and you will never go wrong. Everything else is projection and people's opinions. And I'm not the least bit interested in any of it. We need to focus on what is true and what has been revealed to us. Now, as a Roman Catholic, I'm going to switch gears a little bit to talk to those who are Roman Catholic or who may be away from the church. We have the four modern marks of the church today. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Now, I know if you would go to Mass, you always pray this, one, holy, Catholic, apostolic church. The original four marks of the church are exclaimed, and by the way, write this down, Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, to the prayers. These are the four marks of the early church. If we're going to live in God's will, we have to do the same types of things as the early church, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. We have to be people who dedicate ourselves to the teachings of the church. It's not so amazing, is it? It's not an eye-opener. It does not say that the early Christians devoted themselves to the Word of God, but to the teaching of the Word of God from the apostles. What were the apostles teaching? The Word of God. But they taught it in the way Jesus taught it. And guess what word I'm going to use? Authority. They taught it the way Jesus taught it, with authority. Now, this is the problem. You have some people in churches that proclaim Jesus hates people. Then they say they are preaching God's will, but they're wrong. They're evil. Satan gets into people, takes the word of God, twists it until they believe what he wants them to believe instead of what God revealed. Just because you quote scripture does not mean you are of God. The devil quotes scripture all the time. Satan took the word of God and quoted it to Jesus, who was the word, and tried to twist it and to have Jesus do what he wanted. Who are the apostles today? If you're teaching according to the apostles, then you must teach according to the magisterium of the church, which will keep you in the will of God. It's so important to check your bumper pads. You know, the bumper pads on cribs for babies? Well, we have bumper pads. We have the sacraments. We have our prayer communities. We have our Bible studies. There are bumper pads, my friends. This is the official teaching of the church, not ideas from different people who have their own interpretations. We're not just limited to scripture in the Catholic Church. Tradition is more than just scripture and has been right from the beginning. So if somebody's trying to tell you something that is not in the official Catholic teaching, then say that you're not the least bit interested in their opinion. The truth is not your interpretation. Truth is what God has proclaimed through the church. Give me the truth. That's what you need to say. So after the break, we have so much more to share. And I hope you stay with me, because God is about a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you are listening and you stay with me throughout the remaining of the program. Hold on, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, and this is Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm so happy to be with you. It's December 15, 2025, and we're just a week away from Christmas. Can you believe it? And I'm so happy to be with you. And today we're talking about, can our weariness refresh others? And absolutely it can, but we're going through other situations in which the Lord is leading me as we're going through the program. And trust me, every time through all these years, I think it's like 9 years of being on this broadcast, he always switches it up somehow. He always switches it up. So I'm laughing because he's moving me in another direction. And it must be because someone's listening that needs to hear this today. Now, when you go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I highly encourage, why don't you get some nice Christmas gifts for your grandchildren and your family members? Go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The opening line in the Catechism by Blessed Pope John Paul the Great, which emphasized guarding the deposit of faith, is the mission which the Lord entrusted to his church and which he fulfills in every age. Now, guarding the deposit of the faith is the mission entrusted by Christ to his church. Not love one another, not that there is a Trinity. The deposit of the faith is everything the church teaches, that God is a Trinity, that God is love, that Jesus is God, that we're saved by grace, that God asks us to love one another. Now, the main job of the church, my friends, is to guard and protect revelation. And when you start messing with revelation, you're messing with truth. You have to guard this tradition, revelation, because that's what is most important. The early church dedicated itself to listening to this tradition of the apostles, which was given to them by the revelation of God himself. Now, remember, when Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus says, no mere man has revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. Then he declares that Peter is rock. It gives him the keys to heaven. And if you forget, that's in Matthew 17, verse 18. The second mark of the early church was they devote themselves to the communal life. There are no lone rangers in Christianity. No lone rangers. We always come together as a community. And this is why you just can't stay home on Sunday and talk to God while lying in your comfortable bed, or go out into the woods, smell the flowers, commune with God. You can do those things, of course, but God calls you to be a member of his family. It's as if you would talk to your father about the rule that says you have to come and eat dinner with the family every Sunday. I love that rule, by the way. You may not like the rule and even say you aren't going to do it, but your father would look at you and say, excuse me, if you love me, You love the family. You're going to come home and have dinner with the family once a week. You're a member of the family. Now, God does the same thing. He says, I want you to come home. I want you to have dinner with your family at least once a week. The church is your family, and we need to come together and eat as a family. So what do you think heaven's going to be? Do you think when you drop dead that you're just going to stare at God forever? Nope. I don't want to go if that's what heaven's like. And after a couple million years, I think I would get bored, right? I'm sure someone's saying that. Heaven is a community where God loves us unconditionally, and we love him, and we love one another forever. And as we talked about before, there's no communion of the damned. If you go to hell, and that's your choice, God forbid that anyone does who's listening, you're alone forever because you made that choice. One of the experiences that converted St. Teresa of Avila that I read was God's revelation to her of hell. She said that she could not move. Her whole body was burning. All she could do was see other people burning in the same way, but she could not communicate with them. It was utter aloneness forever, she said. Communion with Jesus is communion also with one another. Right now, you're in communion with the church, militant. With the church suffering in purgatory, with the church triumphant, we're all one body. When you and I receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, we have communion with Jesus and communion with one another. This leads us to the fourth mark of the early church, the breaking of the bread. Now, the breaking of the bread is what they call the Eucharist. The communal life is best expressed in the Mass and the Eucharist. We use the sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church to help us stay in the will of God. And going to Mass must become a habit in our lives, not pick and choose when you want to go to Mass, fitting it in between sporting events or parties. If the early church had to do it, so must we. Every Mass is a living sacrifice. Jesus, who's alive, is offering his life in sacrifice. And when you and I join our lives with his in the Eucharist, well, we're offering our own lives as a living sacrifice. If we're dedicating ourselves to the breaking of the bread the way the early church did, we become one with Jesus and one with one another. Now, remember that our new millennial saint, St. Carlo Acutis, said the Eucharist is the highway to heaven. The Eucharist is the highway to heaven. Now, all this comes down, my friends, to the last practice that the early church dedicated itself to. Prayer. The number one practice that will keep us in the will of God is prayer. It's prayer. There is no other way. We have to stay in prayer every single day. Not just go to Mass once a week and that's your prayer day, a prayer hour. Every single day we need to be in prayer. As Paul would say in the scriptures, pray always, pray always. Now, there are a lot of ways to do this. And I know if you're listening, you're always, people who listen to this radio network, they're hungry for the Word of God. They're hungry for catechetical instruction. They're hungry to be coached in the Christian walk. One of the oldest ways is the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Do you remember that prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It should become part of your breath. As you breathe in, say, Lord Jesus Christ. And as you breathe out, Son of the living God. You breathe in again and say, have mercy on me. You breathe out and say, a sinner. This is an ancient practice. Members used to carry long rosaries, also called prayer ropes. And on every bead, they would say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So it became part of their breath. This is how they woke up. This is how they went to bed. And they would say thousands and thousands of them. Another way to pray always And one of the ways I do is to try and focus on a word that will instantly bring you into the presence of God. Now, a lot of people use the word Abba, which means father or daddy. And when I say Abba, I think of the song Abba Father. I love that song. I instantly come into the presence of God the Father in heaven. Every one of us needs to find one word to help us to come into the ultimate reality, a word that will take you into the very presence of God, that will remind you, get you refocused to be with him and spend time with him. Dedicate yourself to the teachings of the church, my friends, to being a loving member of the church community, to being dedicated to the Holy Eucharist, and to being a person of prayer. The common theme I hope you take away from this broadcast today and from all the other broadcasts, especially since September, there's no magical way to discern God's will. Knowing God's will comes from living in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this relationship begins only when you surrender your life completely to him. I pray you fully surrendered yourself to the Lord. If not, we're going to pray this before the end of the broadcast. You have to do this by your own will, not by someone saying, oh, do this or try this. You have to want to do it. Make sure you surrender to the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready? I pray that you are ready, because if you're listening, you're ready. What are you holding on so tightly today that you cannot surrender to receive God, everything that God wants you to have? I want you to name it. What is it that you're holding on so tightly to today? What do you want? Remember that with God, you have everything. Without God, you have nothing but a handful of dirt. Now, remember, every year on Ash Wednesday, we're told, remember, man, that you're dust, and until dust you shall return. You're going to die. You're going to become dust. Some of us faster than others because you're going to be cremated. But I promise you, every one of you will become dust. You can stay dust forever, or you can surrender your dust and live your life and give it to Jesus Christ right now. And he will take your life and give you his. Christ is right here with you right now, wherever you are, wherever you're listening. This isn't some magic thing. I don't even like that word. It's true reality. Christ asks you now, I've given you everything for love of you. Will you give everything for love of me? If you have never fully surrendered your life totally to Jesus Christ, do it right now. Just pray this prayer with all your heart. Surrender yourself to him now, forever. He's waiting. He's waiting. Oh, he's not waiting high in the sky. He's right next to you. He's waiting for you right now. So pray this with me. Pray it, even though your head may be spinning in 10 directions and you think you have to do this or that, pray it with me from an authentic and pure heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Pray this after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And I beg you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Take control of my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me your disciple. I love you, Lord Jesus Christ, and I surrender my life to you forever. Amen. And I'm going to pray it one more time for those of you who are driving and missed it, or maybe caught the end. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins, and I beg you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Take control of my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me your disciple. I love you, Lord Jesus Christ, and I surrender my life to you. Amen. And now it begins. Decide to live a life of joy, my friends. Be a living sacrifice. Meditate on John 15, verse 9. Let it penetrate your whole being right now. Find one word that will bring you instantly into an awareness of God's presence. Maybe it's praise you, Jesus. It's three words. But just find something that will bring you into the presence and an awareness of God's presence. Dedicate yourself to the teaching of the church, to being a loving member of the church community, to being dedicated to the Holy Eucharist, and being a person of prayer. Surrender everything to Jesus Christ. Surrender everything. Are you ready? Are you ready to do this? I encourage you tonight because we are preparing for such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful time. And we're in it now. Did you know that most souls are released from purgatory on Christmas Day? Oh, yes, that's what the Blessed Mother has said. Most souls are released from purgatory on Christmas Day. And I want you to ask this question tonight. I don't care if you're 15 or 90. Why did God make me? Why did God make me? And if you remember the old Baltimore Catechism, or you're young and you don't even know what that is, the answer is to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, so we can be happy forever in heaven. This is our goal, my friends, in surrendering our lives to him. God loves us more than we could ever begin to love ourselves. Do you believe this? Are you living this? Now, our surrender that we just prayed is not a passive giving up. We're talking about the example of the Blessed Mother when she said, "Let it be done to me." Fiat. The name of this program is Thy Will Be Done. Hers was not a passive acceptance of whatever may happen. Mary's fiat was an active desire to seek out and live God's will. It was a complete willingness to do everything that God called her to do. And this is what we must do too, my friends. When the Blessed Mother said yes to God's will, she brought salvation to the world. The same thing happens to us when we say yes to his will. We must become instruments of salvation for our families, the world, ourselves. To surrender is to love. This is not surrender of fear or self-interest, but it's a response to a loving invitation in the journey to eternal life. It's a surrender that's life-giving. It's the ultimate surrender and the only one that really matters. We're going to explore this in all the coming weeks because it may cause confusion, but I'm asking you to say, I surrender tonight, Lord Jesus, to you. When you surrender your will daily to the will of God the Father, then you'll discover the joy of totally giving yourself to the one who has totally given himself to you. You'll enter into the relationship of trust and love with the God of our universe. You don't have to be afraid. You need to just trust. For he promises that he will never leave you or forsake you. He promises that he will lead you and guide you. He promises that he will give you peace. Are you ready? Are you ready, or are you taking some joy and holding back? Your Christmas gift from my heart to yours is to get excited. God has great plans for you. Can you start to surrender tonight? Can you start to surrender? Because God's will is for you to go to heaven to be with Him. He wants to love us forever, and He wants us to live with Him and enjoy eternal life. This is what God desires. He doesn't desire revenge or hatred. This is why He created you and me. Once we realize this is the ultimate will of God, everything flows from this reality. God has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of any merit of ours, but according to His own design. The grace held out to us in Christ Jesus before the world even began. To be saved means to go to heaven ultimately. And guess what? This is the general plan for everybody. And there's only one tragedy in this teaching, and that's not to be a saint. You and I were created for heaven. It's the overall will of God that you and I live forever with Him. We need to do everything in our power to cooperate with His will. Now, you have a choice. Become a saint or go to hell. Right now, you need to make a decision, as we just prayed that surrender prayer, to desire God's will in your life. And He does everything in His power to save us and to get us to heaven. He does everything. He gave us His only Son for each of us. He also gave you and me the gift of free will. He's not going to force you to surrender your will to Him. He gives you and has given you the gift of free will so that we can choose to be with Him or not. The choice is up to us, and it's eternal, friends. In Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 6, that God chose us in His Son before the world began to be holy and blameless in His sight and full of love. And before we start to talk about the particular will of God for our lives, and I want you to talk about it with your family, your grandchildren, we need to look at the general will of God. The general will of God is that we're saved, that we go to heaven, and that we become holy. Everything else is going to be secondary, friends. He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of His truth. God wants everyone in heaven with Him. And yes, this includes you, our beautiful listener. He wants you. God does everything in His power to save you. God does everything in His power to save all of us. So who's messing this up for you? Answer the question, who's messing it up? We do, because we go against the will of God. We don't cooperate with God's will for our lives. You see, when we go against the will of God, we kill ourselves spiritually. It's self-destruction because God loves us. We do not have to be afraid. My sense tonight is that someone is so scared to surrender to the Lord, thinking it's not going to be easy. Jesus will walk with you, will show you. He's going to give you the hardware, the spiritual hardware to protect you, to put on the armor of God. We talk about the fear of the Lord as being the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of God isn't terror. It's awe, A-W-E. It's awe. Remember that John says in the scripture, when there's fear, love has not yet been perfected. When we're in love, it casts away all fear. So when we're talking about God, we're talking about wanting to be one with Him. We're talking about our trusting Him and trusting that He loves us. Let us make one thing perfectly clear tonight. We're not talking about salvation as if it comes only from what we do. It comes by cooperating with what Jesus did for us on the cross. We are saved by grace, period. But we've got to cooperate with that grace. When we stand before God the Father and he asks, "Why should I let you into heaven?" The only answer should be, "Because Jesus Christ died for my sins." God will respond to you, prove it, and then you'll have to show him the way you lived. But again, salvation comes from the grace of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Who saved a wretch like me. We wretches will become saints if we keep cooperating with God, since we're all saved by grace. When we surrender to God, then we can grow in his holiness. Holiness is who we are, not what we do. My friends, I pray that somehow this broadcast has touched you in a very special way. And I want to pray this prayer. It's very powerful, and I know many of you know it. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from me, from the malignant enemy. Defend me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee forever and ever. Amen. That's called the Anima Christi. And it's on the back of the prayer, the missals at church, and you're asked to pray it after Holy Communion. Did you know that? St. Ignatius Loyola said that. I wish more and more people would pray this prayer. It's very powerful. So, my friends, next week is Christmas. It will be a rebroadcast for me for next Monday and the following Monday. I need some time off, and I will be covering you and praying for you in a very special way. And I ask that you please pray for me and my family, that we will enjoy a blessed, holy, and healthy Christmas together, and that it will be joyful as well. Because everything that the Lord places on my heart to preach, I have to live, and I have to remember what words he used it through me, through retreats, through sacred scriptures, through so many things I've shared with you over the past year, so I won't be with you until the new year. And it is my prayer that this blessed Advent and Christmas will be beyond bountiful in spiritual gifts for all of you who listen, and for this radio network, and of course, for Kathleen McCarthy and the people behind the scenes, Maureen and Frank and Dennis and Doris and all the people who make this ministry tick. I pray that you remember the ministry in your prayers, and again, to financially support in a very powerful way to the end of the year. So until next week, which is Christmas, I pray the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And know that you are loved, and that God is calling you today to surrender your life to him in a very special way. Merry Christmas, my friends.